It's business made simple with Bizval, exclusively on In Season.
And of course, I've got Graeme back. Graeme, good morning and welcome back. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. Thanks, Sake. And it's always good to be back. I wasn't here last week, and we're sitting in a beautiful brand new studio. I hope I don't get too distracted looking out over these rolling waves. And well, there's not many waves, but there are lots of surfers out there hoping to catch one. And, you know, I guess the downside of, you know, an international trip, you know, I was in London a few weeks ago, is that trying to catch up when one gets back home. So, you know, it's all the things that you leave loose and leave hanging. And so the last couple of weeks has been a bit intense, but really happy to be here today.
Yeah. And speaking about catching up, how do you miss the cold weather?
Not at all. Okay. I think, although after being in like minus 2 degrees for my week in London, it actually took a bit of getting used to the sort of hot weather we've had, but yeah, I'd rather have this than the cold and wet.
Really? I think I'd rather have the cold and the wet. But that will be a discussion for another day. For today, what are we chatting about?
So in the last few months, we've spoken about creating value for small business owners, things like succession planning, understanding what makes a business valuable, planning for December, planning for the year. But, you know, the reality is that owning and running a business is not all sunshine and roses. You know, everyone likes to think that, oh, you know, you're gonna strike the lotto, so to speak. But running a business can be tough, and it is tough. So despite our best laid plans, things go wrong. We've got to deal with adversity. We have to deal with challenges. So today we're going to chat a bit about some of the turbulent waters and challenges that business owners can face, and also some tactics and things that they can do to, I guess, navigate and sail through the waters when things get a little bit choppy.
Talk us through that. What are some of the common challenges that business owners can face?
So where do I begin? I mean, there's a myriad of challenges for business owners. So some of the common things, and I'll touch on a few. The financial roller coaster. I think this is first and foremost. You know, it's top of mind for most business owners. Cash flow challenges, unexpected expenses, market fluctuations. You know, something happens in China that affects your business over here. I think also the emotional challenge of having to wear multiple hats as a business owner. So business owner, it's, you know, often it's you're the IT specialist through to the salesperson, through to the shelf stacker or the tea lady. And small business owners often have to do it all. So that's a big challenge. Things like resignation of key staff members, you know, just as things are going smoothly, somebody resigns to either emigrate or take up a new job opportunity. Breakdowns, like machines breaking down if you're a manufacturer. And in South Africa, you know, clearly this can include the impact of load shedding. You know, I think a lot of businesses have normalized to this now and have workarounds and all those sorts of things, but it is still a reality for many. New competitors or new products, you know, so you might be, you know, doing great and something new comes along that renders your product or service obsolete or no longer as attractive as it was. And, you know, the changing regulatory and compliance landscape. Now, these tend to be sort of slower moving things, but it does happen. You know, if you think back a few years to when Poppy or Papier came onto the scene, how everyone was scrambling around you know, protection of privacy and data and all of those things. So these are just a few of the things that keep business owners on their toes, and they need to be aware of them and responsive to them.
Yeah. Now, before we can get into, you know, the nitty-gritty or the nuts and bolts of specific challenges, how can entrepreneurs navigate some of these challenges?
So I think, you know, we never know what's going to hit us, but essentially it starts with one's mindset. And I think there's some key principles which I'll touch on, you know, so we'll get into details of each of these challenges and how we can respond later. But I think the first thing is it's absolutely essential as a business owner to embrace flexibility. And what I mean by this is, you know, change is going to happen. Unexpected surprises are going to come along. And your mindset has to kind of you know, correlate with that. You have to accept that the unexpected is going to happen. Mm-hmm. So when it does happen, it's not a surprise, and you're in a state of calm and readiness to be able to deal with that. So, you know, that being able to embrace flexibility and recognize it for what it is really, really important. The second thing is, and we spoke about this in some of our previous sessions, you know, having a plan and thinking about the different what-if scenarios is really useful. So, you know, businesses, people speak a lot about having a budget and tracking against that budget. What's not often spoken about is, you know, what is your plan B and your plan C? So when you're doing that budget planning, think about what those scenarios might be. What happens if things go much better than expected, or what happens if something goes wrong? So you might not be able to plan for every eventuality, but the thought process of asking yourself and your team, what if, at least allows you to prepare mentally for the unexpected. So, you know, to the first point of being flexible, if you've already thought about what are some of the bad things that could happen, then when they happen, it's not as much of a surprise. The third one, I think, is having a support system. And this is absolutely crucial. We've spoken about it before, like as entrepreneurs, and even part of the show, why do we do it, is to be encouraging to business owners, the sense of community. You know, so the Business Breakfast Network, for instance, is a good example of that. And even if you're experiencing a particular challenge for the first time, the likelihood is that somebody else has been through that same challenge before. So I think it's really important at a principal level to try find a mentor, a fellow entrepreneur who you can bounce ideas off, share the war stories, you know, the scrapes, the bruises, and it helps to normalize some of those things. And of course, there are many things to consider, but I think the sort of above three principles are a really useful starting point for any entrepreneur or any business owner.
Now, I want us to take it into scripture, right? Just to sprinkle a bit of biblical wisdom. Can you share a story that might, you know, resonate with small businesses or business owners facing adversity?
Absolutely. You know, and I think, you know, I think there are plenty of biblical references to business and to life in general. But I think the first one that comes to mind for me is the story of Joseph. You know, his journey, and without going into the whole story, but his journey from being sold into slavery to becoming a trusted advisor to the Pharaoh and in a foreign land, nevertheless, you know. So I don't think there could be many scenarios that are much more challenging than that. Yeah. It's a really powerful example of resilience and adapting to unexpected circumstances. So, you know, I think small business owners can learn from Joseph's ability to stay focused, I think on the bigger picture, and turn setbacks into opportunities. And obviously, you know, there was a faith behind that, which is important. You know, so I'd encourage entrepreneurs to read that story and, you know, take out some of those learnings for themselves. Generally speaking, my experience is that true entrepreneurs or business people are glass half full types. You've got to be a little bit mad and optimistic sometimes to actually start a business. And I think they're often quick to spot opportunities even in the midst of the storm. When everyone's panicking, they're looking to say, well, I might be in a storm, but I'm a surfer and there's a you know, there's a nice 8-foot wave coming through. How do I ride it? So I think entrepreneurs are wired that way. I think another example biblically would be the parable of the talents. You know, and I think this is a story that emphasizes the importance of wisely using and multiplying the resources given to you. So it's not simply enough to, you know, bury the loot in the sand, or when adversity happens, just to kind of be an ostrich and duck your head in the sand and hope for the best. And I think small business owners can draw inspiration from this parable, you know, encouraging them to invest time, money, and effort to strategically see their ventures grow and, you know, be filled with abundance. So, yeah, I think those are two, you know, biblical stories which have, you know, far-reaching lessons and parables and useful for any business owner.
Yeah, they are. They're quite inspiring. Now, if you could perhaps, you know, dive into specific adversities and challenges and how business owners can deal with these.
Of course, Saki. So today I'm going to focus on seven, well, let me get my counting right. I think it's seven key challenges that business owners might face. And I think as we mentioned up front in the show, cash flow challenges, the loss of a staff member, theft or fraud, it's something we didn't touch on earlier, but that's a big one, particularly in the South African context, or not even in the South African context, in the global context, it's a reality. Loss of clients or a key client, you know, particularly if you're dependent on a big client and they go out of business or they go to a competitor. New competitors into the market. Market fluctuations, so you know what happens when the economy is going badly or something happens elsewhere in the world, and then natural disasters or external events, those kind of things that are seemingly completely out of your control. So I'm going to dive into each of these. I'm going to try to explain a bit of a scenario, what impact this could have on somebody's business. And then some general tactics for how we could deal with these situations. So you know, it's not meant to be a tick box exercise or rule book, but I think it's to give some thought as to what are some of the tactics and strategies for dealing with adversity when it arises.
Talk us through it.
Okay, so let's talk about cash flow. So as any business owner will know, cash flow is the lifeblood of any business. We've just come through to the end of January. For a lot of businesses, it's a really tough time, so paying January salaries. And then straight off the back of January, you're into, very short February. So you've got less time till the February month end to make February payroll and all those sorts of things. So sometimes cash flow can come under pressure, and it usually comes under pressure. So what can cause this? A client pays us late. They're having cash flow challenges themselves. And it might only be a day or two late, but if you're paying salaries on the 20th and your client's meant to pay you on the 19th, but they only pay you on the 22nd, that's it's something really tricky to deal with. An unexpected expense. So these are things. Despite our budgets and our plans, it happens. If your machine breaks down and you need to fix it, your delivery vehicle has a breakdown, things like that. I mean, there's a multitude of different things that can break down or expenses that can incur. The last one is, you have an unexpected tax bill or a penalty. You're so busy that you forget to pay your tax on time. And suddenly you have a nice little SARS penalty. And, for small businesses, like the tax is an example where you can actually plan ahead and make sure you talk to your accountant and all those things. But the reality is it often happens. So when this happens, it can put enormous strain on a business and a lot of pressure on the owner. And business owners carry a lot of the strain. Ultimately, the buck stops with them. So questions like, how am I going to pay salaries this month? Even if you can pay salaries, how are you going to pay yourself this month? Most business owners I know will always try and make an effort to pay themselves last. But the emotional toll that they can take on you and the pressure, and it manifests in different ways. So some of the things you can do to mitigate this, I guess, is the first thing is to not be reactive. So, having a system in place for managing and tracking cash flow is really, really important. I think we spoke last year to Rochelle from Axia Accounting, and she spoke a bit about some of these things. So the first thing is have that plan in place, track your cash flow, think about it in advance, send reminders to your customers, and don't leave that to chance. So that's the first sort of thing. If you've got that in place, it makes it a lot easier. I think the other thing is being on good terms with your suppliers. So, when something goes wrong, you're going to need to lean into people in your business, customers, suppliers, staff. And if you have a bad month, you can phone up your suppliers and say to them, listen, I'm waiting for a payment from a customer. Can you give me a little bit of grace? Normally I pay you cash on delivery, but this month, can I just have an extra 5 days? And, you know, if you've been on good terms with those suppliers, they're business people themselves, they'll recognize the strain. And don't just ignore them. You know, a lot of people, they're like, I'll just, you know, I won't pay the supplier. I won't, you know, they're used to being paid on a certain date. And you just draw it out by 5 days. The supplier has nothing from you. That creates distrust and challenges. So you communicate with your suppliers, keep a good relationship with them. And the last one, again, is try and create an emergency fund. You know, so this applies to our personal lives as well. Again, there's a biblical principle in terms of sort of, you know, the grain harvest and the silos and saving for, you know, that dry season. And I think as a business owner, it's hard to do. You know, we have a good month and we want to spoil ourselves. We want to reinvest in the business. Yeah. So I think that's really important to, over time, try and create that emergency fund. You know, whether that what that looks like for each business might be different, but it might be, you know, an extra month's salaries that are there that I know I'm not going to touch. Mm. Or, you know, my tax bill, I put away 20% or 30% of my income straight into a savings account that I can't touch. You know, make it a call account that you can't just access it readily. You know, so those are some practical things. I think also is something like an overdraft. Now, an overdraft or a temporary facility with your bank, like some people are nervous of debt and, you know, used irresponsibly, it can be a bad thing. But as a business owner, having access to an overdraft or a temporary facility is actually quite an important thing. And the important thing is to arrange this not when you have the need. Don't wait until you have a crisis and then you go to your bank and say, oh, can I please have an overdraft? Mm. You need to do this when things are going well. If you do it when they're going bad, you know, there's a lot of pressure and it's a lot harder to arrange this when you're in a crisis. If you've made proactive plans for that with your bank up front, when you need that drawdown and used appropriately to tide you through a bit of a wobble, that's a good thing. And in fact, creditors and that will look at that and say, if you've got a facility, a bank has looked at your business, they've done a due diligence on it, and they're prepared to lend to you. So it's actually a good thing sometimes to have that facility available. Not to max it out, but having it can be a good thing for business owners used responsibly. The next one is, you know, it's quite an emotion. It can be an emotional one. There's a lot attached to this, but this is the loss of a staff member. And this can be a big challenge for business owners.
Yeah.
So if you've built your business, and we spoke about succession planning, we're all dependent on people in our teams to fulfill certain key roles. So, but what happens if one of those key staff members either resigns or falls ill unexpectedly? So, you know, to use a practical example, if you wake up one morning and at 5 o'clock you realize you've lost your voice, what happens?
Yeah.
You know, you phone RJ or the station manager and say, or you WhatsApp them because you've got no voice.
Yeah.
So there's got to be a backup plan for that. But it can create a massive strain on businesses. And for a variety of reasons, there could be a skills gap, you're unable to service customers. And some of the things you can do to mitigate this is, again, you'll see there's a theme coming through here, is when crisis or adversity happens, you know, being proactive is one of the things that kind of mitigates against that.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can cross-train your employees for multiple roles. Say, have a buddy. Okay. Mm-hmm. So maybe there's, you know, to use the studio example again, maybe there's somebody who's not normally a voice of CCFM, but, you know, they're an apprentice and, you know, you put them in front of the mic and you give them a go, you know. So cross-training people to step into somebody else's shoes if there's a crisis. I think also having a strong culture in your organization. So having a culture where people want to work for you. I can't remember who said it. It was something along the lines, I think it might have been Richard Branson, who said, you know, we want people to choose to work for us. You know, we want to empower them so that they have other opportunities, but we want them to stay with us because they want to be here. And I think that is really, really important, that you to retain employees, treat them well, recognize them appropriately, recognize them when they do well, and then having a succession plan in place for key employees. So, you know, life happens. You know, you could have a key employee and their husband or their wife gets a transfer to another city. It might not be your thing, but You know, having that succession plan documented and written down, that somebody else can follow the instruction. The next one is theft and fraud. And this is not something any of us like to think about. But unfortunately, it's a reality.
Mm.
Not just in South Africa, but pretty much everywhere in the world. Now, theft and fraud could be anything from internal or external theft, right through to fraud or cybersecurity breaches. You know, in the modern digital world, cybersecurity is a big thing. So, yeah. You know, the impact of this on a business, it can be financial, you know, the actual theft, but it can even cause damage to reputation. You know, if somebody's hacked your profile or put out a damaging message on social media, the reality is it will have an impact on your business. And if it happens, often the best form of response is to be, again, to be proactive. So what can you do in advance to avoid these things is have appropriate security in place, have insurance in place. So, you know, if something gets stolen, you know, where are you going to find that money to replace the machine or broken, you know? So insurance is a proactive step you can take to deal with theft and fraud. And, you know, from a internet perspective, basic things like having firewalls, proper password policies, all of those sorts of things are important. If something happens, so if you do have fraud and theft, there's a few things that I guess you need to do. So you actually need to communicate to your customers and your suppliers sometimes, you know. So if something happens to you and, I don't know, your machine gets broken or stolen, contact your contact your customers. Say, listen, sorry, we can't service you. We had a break-in. You know, don't just let your service standards slip. And, you know, customers will be understanding if they understand what's happened. And I think also internally, this is often the hard thing. If fraud or theft is internal and happens, you have to take immediate measures to deal with the responsible party, disciplinary measures for involved. You know, it's about showing, like, let's say somebody internally steals something. It's not just about dealing with that person, but also you don't want to create a culture where, you know, things like theft and fraud are tolerated.
Yeah.
So you need to send a message to the rest of your staff. Then the second last thing I'm going to talk about is, you know, I'm going to group a few of them together. So the loss of clients, new competitors, and market fluctuations.
Mm.
I think I'm going to talk about those sort of as one theme. And these are all things that, despite our best laid plans, can impact on our business, on our growth, on our revenues, on creating, and they create increased financial pressure. I think what's really important here is to realize that these things are absolutely normal in business. Every business goes through cycles. You know, all businesses succeed. They've got peaks, they've got troughs.
Yeah.
And this is absolutely normal. But what are some of the things that you can do to actually, you know, again, be on the front foot here? So building strong relationships with your customers and ensure that you focus on what sets you apart. Why is this important? So that customers remain loyal to your brand. So even if your product, you know, is no longer relevant, I mean, we just have to think of the world of cell phones, you know, when the Nokia 3210, you know, which was ubiquitous at one point. You know, when the Apple came along, you know, if Nokia at that point have had, let's call it, more brand loyalty, they may have been able to, I think there were other issues at play there, but building that brand loyalty, that customers will stick with you even when things change, is important. I think in the small business space as well, we talk about competition and competitive economy, but collaborating with other businesses rather than seeing them solely as competitors, I think, is quite important. You know, so we talk about a rising tide lifting all boats.
Yeah.
And I think that's important. You know, the sort of dog-eat-dog world of, you know, I'm a restaurant and the restaurant next door to me, we need to take them down. You know, you might be a steakhouse, they may be a fish and chip shop. And some people want fish and chips, some people want steak. So how do you work to create an environment that more people come into the area? You know, I think Musenberg's a really good example of that. You know, if you look at the, for those in Cape Town, the sort of walkway in front of what's it, Surfers Corner, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
You know, over the last few years, and I think this happened over COVID, that whole area has been developed into quite a neat little strip. And it benefits because you've got more people coming and enjoying what's on offer. And then keeping abreast of market trends and changes. So, you know, nowadays you don't have the newspaper that you can read, but looking at industry publications, looking at what's going on globally, you know, keeping an eye on international news, what happens if there's a shipping crisis in the Suez Canal? You know, yeah. You can kind of preemptively know that there might be an issue with mm-hmm. you getting your stock and supply chain. So keep abreast of market trends. Don't become consumed by them. But, you know, you want to avoid surprises. And then the last thing, I'm just keeping half an eye on the time here, is natural disasters and external events. You know, so I think it's still pretty much top of mind for everyone. And the most recent example would be the COVID pandemic. Many of these things are unforeseen.
Yeah.
They're black swan events. And I think the most important thing here is to, you know, keep a calm head. When an absolute crisis happens, whether it's a tsunami, whether it's COVID, whether it's whatever, is you have to take a step back, assess the situation, see the wood from the trees, and then make new plans. You know, so dealing in this kind of crisis situation is important. Communication is important. You know, as a business owner, like showing leadership and being present is really important in those situations. And then you can start thinking about, well, what are the contingency plans? Again, to have some of these put in place before. Like, what if there's a transport strike? You know, can we work from home? What if, you know, there's load shedding? Do we have battery backups? So those contingency plans are really important in the case of natural disasters or external events. So, you know, hopefully today we've just covered some of those, you know, topics which business owners don't like to think about. But need to think about.
Well, our plate is definitely full. That is a lot to think about. Now, as we wrap up, any final words of wisdom for small business owners?
So I'd like to end today just to say, you know, running a small business is a journey. You know, there's ups and downs, there's stretches of wide open highway, and there's stretches where it's a narrow winding pass, and occasionally there's a tree that's fallen over the road. But I think one needs to embrace the journey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, learn from the challenges, celebrate the victories, no matter how small those might be. And importantly, is you need to keep faith in your vision. So, you know, faith is an important part of our lives and of running business. You've got to stay persistent. And remember, I love this saying. I don't know who said the quote, but it's a really cool quote. It says, "Remember that every setback is a setup for a comeback." So, sure. You know, as a business owner, we face that every single day. But remember, a setback is a setup for a comeback.
I love that. Now that you are, you know, very, very much busy after your trip down to London, how can we get a hold of you? Can we get a hold of you?
Absolutely. We're always accessible. So remember, you know, you can contact us via email. So it's Graham, G-R-A-H-A-M, at bizval.co. And, you know, my number's out as well. So it's 082-481-0084, or as always, you can contact the studio and they'll put you in touch with us if you've got any questions or just want to chat.
Yeah, definitely. Graham, thank you so much. Today was insightful yet again, and I'll be seeing you 2 weeks from now.
Fantastic, and look forward to that, Sakya.
Awesome, fantastic. It's 10:43 and we just wrapped up Business Made Simple with Bizval.
It's Business Made Simple with Bizval, exclusively on In Season.